All right, thank you for that, and thank you for being in the service. And we're going to be looking at Proverbs chapter number 4 today, so if you will keep your finger there. Several years ago, a lady named Anna Marquez, she was on vacation, and she was in Paris, and she was heading to Denmark. They can help him over there. She was heading to Denmark. She went, and she was going to board the plane, and she noticed that the ticket that she had, the name on it was a little bit different than her name. But she figured she was in a hurry. She was late. They would check it. They would fix that when she was boarding the plane. And they made a mistake, and they let her on the plane. So she got on the plane. She was tired and decided that she would take a nap. And she slept very well, and the plane landed, and she got off. She got in the airport. She was heading to Denmark. She got off there, and she looked around, and she noticed that the language was a little bit different. It was Greek. And she realized that she ended up in Athens. Now, that was not her destination. The problem wasn't that the plane went to the wrong place. The plane went to where it was supposed to go. The problem was she got on the wrong plane. And once she got on the wrong plane, her destination was now determined. That's kind of like how it is in life. We end up in places in life and we're like, how did I get here? Yeah. Well, let me just explain it to you. You got on the plane that was headed to that destination. You started following a path that was headed towards that destination. And once you got on that path and started following, that is where you ended up. We're going to talk about that this morning. Proverbs is the book of wisdom. Wisdom has nothing to do with your IQ. Wisdom is the ability to take the truths of God's word, apply them, and make them a part of your life. It was written by Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived. At the beginning of this chapter, chapter 4, he recounts the lessons that his father tried to teach to him. Lessons of wisdom. And then he is talking, in a sense, to his son and trying to teach him some things that would help him, particularly when it comes to wisdom. Now, we don't know who the son is. In all probability, it was probably Rehoboam. And we can figure out, if we read the life of Rehoboam, that he did not get it. But what he is doing, he is instructing him to avoid the wrong path in life. Look at verse 14 and 15 of Proverbs chapter 4. He says, enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn away from it and pass away. He's telling him, if you look at the verses, to avoid the path that leads to mischief, doing the things that are wrong. A path that would lead him to being involved with others and getting involved himself in things that are wicked. And then really, he talks about the fact that he's going to lead a path that's going to lead him to a place of darkness. By the way, whenever you're in a life that is not following the word of God and not following the principles of God, that's not obedient to the word of God, you are headed to a place of darkness in life. And so you need to be careful about that. That's what he's telling his son. He did not want him to end up there. So he gives him better admonishment. Look at verse 20. He goes, my son, attend to my words. Incline thy words unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. He says, listen to what I'm saying. By the way, you ever do that to your children? You're trying to instruct them? That's why you always want to make them look at you, right? You know you're talking about it. Hey, come here. And it's like you're talking to them and they're like, it's like, hey, look at me. Listen up. You want them to get what you're saying, to pay attention so they'll do. And that's what Solomon is saying. And he says why it's important in verse 22. He says, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. I don't know about you. Those two things sound really good to me. They are life. The word life means flourishing, green, living. If you can understand what I'm saying, not in a worldly sense, your life is successful. Yeah. Not in a sense of, you know, prosperity and all this stuff. It's successful in that you're living life and you're doing what God wants and things are going well for you. And I'm not talking about things of life that happen to all of us we have to deal with. I'm talking about things are going well. You're not having all of these self-inflicted problems that come when we don't follow wisdom, when we don't follow the right path. And it says that it's health to their flesh. It's healing. It's curing. It's sound. By the way, let me just say this. It is better for you in every area of health to live for God. It is better for you mentally. It is better for you physically. It just helps us. Not that you're going to be 100%. I know. We do have stuff that's called DNA. You know what DNA means? You can do nothing about it. Okay, but I'm just saying, if your health is going to be here, there are certain things you do when you disobey God. It affects you. It affects you in all these different areas. And he says, if you'll follow my path, you'll have life and you'll have health. As a wise father, he wanted what was best for his son, that he would avoid the path that would lead to a life of darkness and follow the path that would lead to a life of light. And then we come to the verses in which we are focusing on this morning. In verse 23 to 37, he then gives him a solid plan to follow to get to that destination. What destination? The destination that is the way of wisdom, that leads to life, that leads to health, that leads to spiritual success, if you want to put it that way. And if that plan is followed, it is also a plan for avoiding the other destination. If it's not life, that there's a destination that has no life, where it's nothing more than just constantly dealing with things, not seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, having nothing but problems, no health. And I'm not talking necessarily about physical. It all just works together, and it's like, what is going on? A lot of times that's because we got on the wrong path and we ended at the wrong place. You see, the destination you and I end up at life, that we end up at, will determine the kind of life you have. You see, so often what we want to do is we want to make excuses for what's going on in our life, and we want to blame others, and we want to blame circumstances, and we want to blame situations, when the fact of the matter is we have just chosen, whether by ignorance or simplicity, we don't understand it, we have chosen to get on this path that naturally leads to that place. And by the way, let me just say this. Our society loves the victim card. Don't play the victim card. Because let me just tell you who the only person is who gets hurt by that. The person that plays the card. You see? And I'm not willing that someone else determine where I end up. Now let me just say this. Sometimes some people have to face more obstacles than others. I get that. But don't let the fact that you have to face those obstacles stop you from getting to the place that God wants you to be. Just get on that right path and follow the Lord and you'll get there. You can't choose a destination. You can't just choose a destination for your life and expect to get to it. This whole thing our society has, where like, you know, if you can just dream it, you can achieve it. Hogwash. There are some things that you might want to be, and it is outside of the realm of your talent level. It is just outside of the realm of mathematical probability. I want to be president of the United States. Why in the world would you want to do that? Sorry. You know how many presidents there are? Right now, one too many. There's only going to be one president. Well, you can achieve anything. Well, 100 people want to be president. Not happening. You know, I always wanted to be this in life. I know. Everybody wants their kid to be a doctor and a lawyer. I don't know why anybody would want their kid to be a lawyer. Okay? But we have to be careful about that. But you can choose the path that will lead to that destination. I'm talking about if you're choosing a destination that God would want you to be at. You can choose the path that will lead to that destination, and if you stay on that path, you'll get there. Now, you may not understand all the specifics, but I know this, if I'm following God and my goal is to be the right kind of Christian and I get on that path, I'll get there. And all those other little things that I don't understand or I'm not sure about, those will all figure itself out. Now, the right destination is to be a spiritual one. The one that God has laid out for us in His Word. And I know this, God wants us to end up in a place of light and not darkness. God wants us to be in a place that is life and not death. God wants us to be a place of spiritual health and not spiritual illness. And God wants us to be in a place of purpose and not emptiness. So, what was Solomon's plan? To help his son and to help us to get on the right path so that we end up at a right spiritual destination. Now, you're not going to like this when you hear it, but there are six steps we must follow. You're like, hold on, Pastor. It is, by the way, the clock's missing. Now, I did have him put it there. We'll put the clock up there. It's 11:18. I'm not going to be long. I don't want to compete with lunch. But there are six very brief steps. If you follow these, you will get to where God wants you to be. You'll get to the right destination. Number one, if we're going to get there, our heart must be guarded. Our heart must be guarded. Look at verse 23. He says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What do we mean when we say our heart must be guarded? It means in our life, we must have settled boundaries. The word keep means guard, like a sentry. It means diligence. Diligence means to keep confined like a jail guard. And the issues are the boundaries and the borders that ensure life and avoid death. So what is he saying? He goes, we are to guard our heart with the same type of diligence that a guard that is overseeing a criminal that's locked up. With that same type of diligence, because that determines the issues of life, the boundaries we have in our life. By the way, we don't like boundaries, but our heart needs those boundaries. But it starts with the heart. Our heart must be guarded. By the way, the world tells us all kinds of nonsense, right? Follow your heart. No, the heart is desperately wicked and it's sinful. You don't follow your heart. You got to confine your heart and you got to lead your heart through Scripture to do the right thing. So we need boundaries and they must be maintained with diligence. By the way, you don't just tell your kids they can do whatever they want. That's negligence as a parent. Well, that didn't go over very well. You put boundaries in place. Hey, Junior, you don't do that. Now, here's their little question. Why? I'll explain it to you. Because I said. Now, as they get older, you teach them the reasons why behind it. But you don't just let them do whatever they want. By the way, we don't like, I'm just free. I'm me. I'm just authentic. I'm genuine. No. That is such an, I just tell you how I feel. That's just who I am. Do you really do that? Have you ever walked somewhere? Somebody's walking by and you say, you know what? That is the ugliest shirt I've ever seen. You do that? No. Some things are just inappropriate. Some things aren't right. We have to have boundaries in life. Our heart can get us in a very dark place if we do not guard it. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Jeremiah 17:9. It deceives us. It's desperate to do wrong. And understand this, if your heart's not right, you will not be right. Your life will not be right, and your destination will not be right. Psalm chapter 24, verse 3 says, who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. You know why those two are there? Because they go together. Those are next to each other. Clean hands. And you're not, look, so you ever hear these people say, you know, it doesn't matter what you're like on the outside because God sees the heart. Oh, okay. So if you have a clean heart, it's okay. You'll have dirty hands. Those two don't go together. Well, I have a good heart and I love Jesus, but on the outside, my life's a train wreck. You understand the ignorance behind that? What it is, if the inside is right, if the heart is right, the life will be right. Work on the inside. Everything from the outside has got to flow from the inside. But it's not going to flow from the inside if we're not guarding it. If your heart's not right, it is because we have not guarded it. We have allowed in things which we should have kept out. And by the way, don't we do that all the time? There's certain things we just don't need to let in there. And we're not very vigilant. Okay, if you have a mass murderer, you're not going to put them in a, I had a relative one time, I won't say what side of the family he was on, it was one of our sides, and we went to visit them in jail, but it was very, very low security. These weren't really, you know, it was just low-level crimes. That's not where they put the mass murderers, okay? These were people that are going to be in a short time, they're not going to escape, you know? So we're going to, the things that are, we're going to, that's how vigilant we need to be with our life. And we're just so spiritually lazy, and we let stuff in. And on the other side, sometimes we shut out things that we should let in. The good things, we're not being diligent. We live in a society where everything is permissible and nothing is prohibited. Can I just tell you something? That's not for Christians. That's for those who do not know God. You know, just because society says something's okay, listen to this. Just because society says something is okay does not mean it's okay. Okay? It doesn't. What does God say? It ought to always just boil down to that, should it not? If we've not guarded our heart will lead us in the wrong path and we end up at the wrong destination. Number two. This one seems like it's out of place, but here it is. Our mouth must be purged. Verse 24. By the way, I'm negligent here. It's the deaf's 15th anniversary. Look at them all over. Let's give them a hand, by the way. Okay? Appreciate all of them being. Make sure you go by. I was going to say, make sure you go by and say hi to them. If they can read lists, but I think it's like this, right, Brother John? This is the way. Okay? So, like you're saluting, and we are saluting them. We're glad to have them with us this morning. Now, number two, our mouth must be purged. Put away from thee, verse 24, a forward mouth and perverse lips. We have to have a settled vocabulary. What does my words have to do with my destination? Let me just say this. Words are a revealer. They reveal how well you are guarding your heart. Luke chapter 6 and verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. Now people can fool you for a while, but if you're around them long enough, listen to what they're saying, because it's revealing what's in their hearts. Okay, you know, everybody's good. You ever go buy a car, the salesman, hey, how you doing? You know, that's lovely children. Look, your children, no children do, but your children can look like they went through a meat grinder. Look at that, Junior's beautiful. And it's like, my wife doesn't even think that, okay? Why? They're just doing that thing to try to, you know, they're trying to get you to, and look, but eventually, who we are comes out. So if we work on the heart, the words will be right. It also reveals how mature you are as a believer. James chapter 3 and verse 2. For in many things we offend all. That's some people's life verse. Amen? If any man offend not in word. In other words, his mouth's not causing trouble. The same is a perfect man. The word perfect means mature, right? And able to bridle the whole body. Now listen to what that says. And able to bridle, to control the whole body. Wow. Here's a principle. The degree to which you can control your mouth is the degree to which you are able to control yourself. Anybody want to know why? This is the hardest to control. We just enter the room mouth first. Are you with me? It's like we say things and it's like, why did I say that? Like, what was that all about? It's because we weren't thinking. We were being careful. But in a real way, if we really are struggling with our mouth, that's a sign that there is a total lack of what's going on the inside. There's a total lack of being diligent and vigilant with our hearts. Also, if we read down in James a little farther, it really shows what's going on inside of you. In James chapter 3, verse 10 to 12, it says, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. Then he said, by the way, he's not telling you to do that because he says, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. And he gives an illustration. Doth a fountain send forth at the same time sweet and bitter water? If you're going to a natural spring where there's fresh water, it's not going to give you both. If the source is right, the water coming from it is going to be right. That's the principle. And can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs. Can no fountain yield both salt water and fresh? He says, look, a tree produces a certain type of fruit, which proves it's that type of tree. You can't have salt water. You're not going to go down to the ocean and scoop it up and drink it. There's no fresh water in it because that's not its source. What he is saying is our words are revealing a source. And if our words are always caustic and wrong and all these different things, it's revealing there's a source problem. You understand what that is? And so we have to be very, very careful. Let's guard our vocabulary. To the degree we can guard our vocabulary, is to the same degree we'll have spiritual self-control. Our vocabulary will reveal to us on which path we are traveling. Number three, see how that's going? I'll speed it up a little. Our eyes must be focused. Verse 25, let your eyes look right on and let thine eyelids look straight before we. We have to have a settled dedication. When our eyes are looking at something, that's where we want to go. That's what's happening in our life. Look right on is we're looking at their desired destination, and to look straight before us, that's the direction to the destination. Back in the day, you know, the old days, farming hundreds of years ago, they didn't have the equipment. How did they do a straight line to plant? They'd have a fixed thing, and they would get the plow and the whatever animal they're using, and they're looking, and their eyes, and they're going to go straight to that fixed point, right? The better focused they are on the fixed point, the straighter they're going to be. You turn your eyes the other way, boom, you're not going to be heading that direction. So not only should we be focused on the right spiritual direction, we must also make sure we're headed in that right direction. The point is, desire is not enough. We all desire things. And how many people that desire something actually get there? You can desire to be spiritual all you want, but are you on the road and doing the things that'll get you to the spiritual destination? See, most of us, like, as long as I have the right desire, I'm good. Well, what are you doing to get to that spiritual destination? We have to be very careful about that. We encounter problems because we lose focus so easily. We get sidetracked. There's a distraction. There's diversions. Very important. Wandering eyes reveal a wandering heart. Man, we want to be right. We want to be spiritual. And then we start looking over here and we're allowing these unspiritual things in our life. And we're like, what's going on here? Got to stay focused, people. Which leads us to our next thought. Number four, our thoughts must be directed. He says, ponder, verse 26, the path of thy feet. We must settle our mentality. Ponder means to mentally weigh out, to make level, to balance. In our minds, we must constantly make sure that we are on the right path, doing the right things, heading the right way towards the right direction. That's what he's saying. He says, if you ponder the path of your feet, look at how you're walking. Weigh it out. Is it going well? Is it balanced? Is this the place I want to go? By the way, we must constantly evaluate ourselves. Because we might, look, good people, sometimes, you know, you look at the Bible, like, you know, Proverbs, you're either wise or you're a fool. That's part of it. But the other part is, sometimes wise people in an area can step out into foolishness if they're not careful. And the Bible says, get back on the path. But you're not going to get back on the path if you're not thinking about it and you're not working on it. We have to think about what's going on. You are the only person who knows for sure if you're going in the right direction. You are. Well, I'm at church. That's a great step. What are you doing when you're not at church? What's going on when you're alone? What's happening in your life in the areas nobody sees? Nobody knows but you. You know where you're headed. You know whether your spirituality is getting better or it's getting worse. You know if you're starting to get off of course. And so what do? When we ponder the path of our feet, we make a course correction. That is why all of us need regular doses of daily Bible reading and faithful attendance to church services to hear the Bible preached and taught. We all do. You know what that is? It's course correction. We're living our lives and we read our Bibles and we hear something, it's like, whoa, I kind of got off on that. I got to get back to where I'm doing. You go in Sunday school class, you come in service and you hear something, it's like, whoa, that's right. I got to be careful about that. I'm starting to wander a little bit. Very, very important that we do that. You are not ignorant of your spiritual decision. It's almost like GPS. Now, I turn mine off. I don't want it talking to me, okay? But I'll follow it. And you get on the GPS in the old days, right? Here's your path to get there, and you take a wrong turn. What does it say when you take a wrong turn? Recalculating. What is it saying? Here's what recalculating means. Hey, dummy, you took a wrong turn. Now I got to fix this. Look in the dictionary. That's exactly what that means. I'm kidding. You know what that means? Okay, you took a wrong turn. Let me tell you how to get to where you're supposed to be doing from here to get back on the path. That's all it is. And it usually involves illegal U-turns and things of that nature, right? It's like, go all the way down there to the white light and take a left. And I'm like, look, there's an opening here. Why do I want to drive down there? Okay. But, I don't do that, my wife does. But you got to get back on the right path. You got to get back on the right path. Now I don't get lunch. Number five, our feet must be grounded. Ponder the path of thy feet. This goes with it. And let all thy ways be established. We must be settled in stability. The word ways means manner of life, the journey we take, our moral character. So the way we live and our character and our right, we have to have that established. That means firmly fixed. That means settled, right? By the way, let's not be so up and down. And I know, we're all flesh, we all struggle, but you know, there's some individuals that can be what the Bible calls double-minded. I mean, one week, they want to be a missionary to Mars. The next week, they don't even want to come to church. That's like, woo, what's going on? Look, the Bible says something about that. It tells us in James chapter 1, verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You know what that word ways means? The same thing as the other ways. They're unstable in their manner of life, the way they live, and where they're going. Like, they'll go down the right path, and it's like, you know what? Not this week. I'm making a left. And they'll do that on purpose. So we got to be fixed. We must be established. In our way of living right, we must be committed to it. If we are, we'll be established on the right path. Just because you one time traveled in the right path doesn't mean you always will. Be very careful. It is so easy just to start straying off the path. You know one of the things that irritates me? There's a lot of things, but we'll just stick with one this morning. You're driving on the freeway, and the person in the lane next to you, know what I'm saying? It's like, what are they doing? Someone tell me. They're on their phone. Now, I'm not a good Christian. You know what I want to do every time? I want to get right up next to them. Honk, honk, like. But I'm not a Karen. My business. I just like, let me get past this person so that I don't get hit when they go into the other lane. You know what they're doing? They're distracted. They're not established in their driving. They're trying to drive and text and do all that stuff. Now I know, I drive with Gary and his car self-drives, right? My car does too, but I don't trust it. Okay. Gary, you totally trust yours. Gary gets in his car, self-drive, I'm working. Now, the times I go with him, I'm there, and I'm like, that's okay, but I'm like, I can grab that wheel if I need to, all right? But look, we're not fixed. Things come in, and we start to look at those things, and now we're drifting. Hey, let's be established in doing what God wants us to do. That's why, you know, we just live in a convictionless society. Everything is up for grabs. Everything is up for debate. It's like, look, when it comes to what God says, it's not up for grabs. It's not up for debate. Let's just go with it. Amen. Then lastly, see, I'm doing real good. Our flesh must be separated. He says, turn not to the right nor the left. And what's the context? Remove thy foot from evil. We got to be settled in our morality. The quickest way to a disastrous destination is by following and giving into the desires of the flesh. Okay? There's a difference between driving while you're looking at your phone and driving with your eyes closed. You with me? Now, no one would drive with their eyes closed, would they? If you're on your texting and you're kind of drifting, you're paying attention. Say, have I ever done that? And so you sometimes you can just feel it. But listen, if you're totally looking the other way and you're not even paying attention, your eyes are closed, the roads don't go straight. I don't know if you know that. Okay? They turn and twist. So you know what helps us? Disaster is when we just totally start giving into the flesh, we're not even looking at the spiritual direction anymore. It's over. Be very, very careful. That's his best plan for us, because that right there, that'll just blow up the road quickly. The other ones take you off a little slower, but if we're giving in and we're not making sure that we're avoiding, turn not to the right hand or the left. Just don't avoid it. Don't allow yourself to get involved. By the way, you know what it is for you. There are certain sins that are for everybody. There are some that are more particular to you, that are more of a temptation to you. Be very, very careful. That's where Satan's going to throw that out at you. We have to be we just got to reject. Remove thy foot from evil means to depart, to turn to the side. Like, I ain't going there. But that'd be real nice if we just had that in some areas of our life. Hey, you know, just you're a lady and one of your male co-workers like, oh, what are you doing for lunch? Yeah, I was going to go over here. Why don't we just go together? Like, no. Oh, come on. No. What's the big deal? Drop dead no. What are you, a prude? I'll call my husband no. See, we do these little things. It's like, well, it's not a big deal. It is a big deal. Learn the word no. It's really, really good. It's important. Now, why is all of this important? It's important because God wants us to end up in the right direction, in the right destination. The relationships in your life, God wants those to end up where he wants them to be. He wants you to have those right relationships, the right kind of marriage, the right kind of family, the right kind of spirituality, right kind of morality, the right kind of purpose in life. But you're not going to get there if you're on the wrong road. We got to follow his path. It's easy to figure out. And the admonishment is this: if you're on the right path, don't get off. Don't let anything. If you're on the wrong path, get off of that bad boy and get on the right path. I'm telling you, where you end up in life determines what you're following, what you're doing, where are you going. And if you follow God, I guarantee you, you'll never get to a place like, why am I here? I don't want to be here. If you're following God, that's exactly where you want to be. Let's bow our head and close our eyes just for a minute. Thank you for listening. I know we went 5 minutes longer than we normally do. Thank you for being patient. We had a little bit, some other things going on, but this is important. This is important. I know many people that I've talked to over the years, and you talk to them and they'll come and say, I just never thought my life would end up like this. Most of the time, the reason their life ended up like that is because they got on the path that led there. That's why the Bible's so important. By the way, everybody has a map for your life. You ever notice that? Hey, do this, do that, do this. This worked for me, blah, blah, blah. I don't know if their maps work. I'll just be honest with you. But I know this. The Bible, if I use the Bible as my map, it always works. It's never let me down. And it'll never let you down. How's your life today? You say, you know, Pastor, I think in some of the areas of my life, especially if you got saved later on in life, I've already been at some of these bad destinations. Can I give you some encouragement? The Bible gives you the pathway out of there. The Bible gives you the reroute. Yeah, there's some things we might have to deal with, but I'd rather deal with those things at the right destination than continue to deal with them at the wrong destination. Let's just follow the Lord. Let me say this, and then we'll finish our invitation. There's also an eternal destination, heaven or hell. I don't know about you, but I'm going to choose heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Several years ago, I settled that. Someone showed me from the Bible. Here's the question I want to ask. If you're here this morning, are you 100% for sure if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven? Or do you have any doubt? Any doubt? If you're here and you would say, you know, Pastor, I have some doubt. I'm not 100% for sure, and I couldn't even give you a scriptural reason why. I'm not sure if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven, but that's something I'd like to know. With nobody looking around, would you say, Pastor, would you pray for me? Just lift your hand real quick and put it right. I see you right here. Yes, thank you. Put your hand down. Anybody else? Pastor, I'm not sure, but that's something. Yeah, I see your hand right here. We can take care of that this morning. Thankfully, getting to heaven is not a path we get on. It's a person we trust, Jesus Christ. Let's stand together. How's your destination this morning? How's your path? Say, maybe you need to make some changes. Maybe you need to make some commitments. I don't know. The piano's going to play. The piano plays. If God spoke to you, why don't you come? Why don't you come?